Hi, my name's Shane. I thought it would be helpful to give you some tips to deal with life after you get a tracheotomy from smoking. Like, when you have a hole in your throat, don't face the shower head. Water can go right into your lungs. Also, cut all your food smaller than a dime. And remember, CPR isn't mouth-to-mouth, it's mouth-to-stomach.
Smoking causes immediate damage to your body. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
The views and opinions expressed by the host on WLUB radio shows does not necessarily reflect on those on the entire WLUB radio broadcasting network. Any statements made, views expressed, or opinions given represent those of the personal views and opinions of the host alone. Listener discretion is advised.
This is a WLUB radio feature presentation.
You're listening to the Right Stuff radio program right here on the new WLUV Radio 103.3. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to the show. You're at the right place at the right time. This is The Right Stuff, and I am your host, Parker J. Cole. I am so glad you're able to join me today. We're going to have an absolutely wonderful discussion today, so just stay tuned right there, and we'll get to it in just a few moments. I'll tell you what, if you loved X-Files, you're definitely going to love this show because we're talking about Christians and the world of the strange. So stay tuned. I want to, as always, thank you for your support of my books, Many Strange Women, The Other Man, God Forsaken, and Dark Cherub. I really appreciate your support. The book I am promoting right now is called The Other Man, which is book two of a sin. So if you haven't had a chance to read that, go ahead and go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, my publisher's site, Alexio Publishing, or wherever fine books are sold. I've been telling you all about it, but if you want to get hooked into what's going on in the indie author world today, as a Christian and as a writer, you definitely want to go to the Christian Indie Authors First Annual Writers Conference that is happening July 30th through August 2nd in Davenport, Iowa. I will be emceeing that event, and I look forward to meeting you. If you want to get more information, just simply go to the website ChristianIndieAuthors.com to get more information, to register and sign up. Let me tell you, it is going to be jam-packed with tons of information, tons of shots for you, the aspiring writer, the indie writer, to hone your craft, get your book published, start marketing, and possibly even turn it into a movie. We're going to be talking about that at the Christian Indie Author Conference this year. So if you haven't had a chance to go to the Christian Indie Author's website, you want to go there right now today. Again, that is www.christianindieauthors.com to get more information. As always, we'd like to thank the D103.3 WLUV Radio for allowing The Right Stuff to air. You can show your appreciation by liking their Facebook page as well as following them on Twitter at WLUV Radio 103. You can follow me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole and get more info about me by going to my website, parkerjcole.com. If you ever want to be on the show, send me an email. My email address is rightstuffradio@gmail.com. At therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. To weigh in on our topics or ask questions, feel free to call in at 646-595-2083. Press 1 to be live on air. And we'll be right back after these messages.
It's the Right Stuff Radio program right here on WLUB Radio. We'll be
right. Right when you feel a cold sore, Abreva can heal a cold sore in as few as 2.5 days when used at the first sign. Without it, the virus spreads from cell to cell. Unlike other treatments, Abreva penetrates deep to block the virus to protect healthy cells. So cold sores heal fast. as fast as 2.5 days when used at the first sign. Learn more at Abreva.com.
Don't tough it out. Knock it out. Fast.
Only with Abreva.
You walked into the hotel as a 5. But when she saw the room, you turned into a weird 7. When she saw the rooftop pool, you went to 11. You two should probably get a room. Oh, that's right. You already did. At Planet Earth's number one accommodation site, Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
You don't want that one.
Yeah, actually I do. It's Mucinex Fastmax Nighttime, and it's got nasal decongestant.
Is that really a thing? Sounds made up.
I can't sleep when I'm all stuffy.
I take offense to that.
I'm not going to argue with a talking ball of mucus.
I think you're being a little hasty.
He's not with me.
Mucinex Fastmax Nighttime. Multi-symptom relief plus nasal decongestant. Breathe easy, sleep easy. Start the relief, ditch the misery. Let's end this.
The station with the
best music.
Best music.
I love the music.
Watch the law, come on. He's done for me, come on.
In your face, all over the place.
Praise the Lady Way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Music, praise the Lady
Way. We're online 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
WLUVradio.com.
Now back to the right stuff with Parker J. Cole right here on the D103.3 WLUV.
Let's bring it back.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. Again, you're listening to The Right Stuff here on the D103.3 WLUV Radio. Again, I'm so glad you're able to join me today. Like I said, we're going to have an absolutely wonderful, fantastic discussion today because we're going to be talking about Christians and the world of the strange. You may be wondering, why am I using the terminology, the world of the strange? Well, the world of the strange encompasses a lot of things that we just cannot explain. Some of us as Christians have seen things, have heard things, have experienced things that we cannot put our minds around. In fact, we sometimes don't want to talk about it because it may clash with our worldview about our place in the universe, about God's and His promises to us, and about how we're supposed to act. So it's a lot of things going on when it comes to Christians and the world of the strange as we deal with anomalous phenomena as well. So we're talking about UFOs, experiences with aliens, weird things that go bump in the night. This show is all about that. And I mentioned before the break that if you were into the X-Files, you would definitely love this show. One thing about the X-Files is that Fox Mulder, who was the main character on that show, he believed the truth is out there, and he was relentless in his study to find out what that truth was. And so with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and introduce our wonderful guest, co-host, and contributor today, Kenneth Morvan. Kenneth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Kenneth. And let me tell you, first of all, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us and sincerely appreciate it. So thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Kenneth, I got to start off. You know, I can always introduce you and read your bio, but you know what? You're the best person to tell us about you. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a life sciences professional, so I'm interested in all types of, you know, science and technology. And, of course, being a sci-fi aficionado, you're always thinking of the future and, you know, extrapolating those kind of things into the future. And you enjoy seeing how other people present those things to the future. But basically, you know, when I grew up, really wasn't really churched or anything at that time. So a lot of interest by way of basically things that we would call a cult or strange phenomena, like astral projection and, you know, strange creatures like crypto. Zoology, you know, the cryptid like Bigfoot and all that. And of course, back then they had a couple of magazines out there, that Argosy magazine and Saga magazine, that covered a lot of these stories, including adventure and treasure, like Lost Dutchman's Mine and the curse surrounding it. So when I became a Christian, you basically forgot that because, you know, then all of that kind of went away. But you still have those experiences in your life that you've had and people you've known had, some of them devout Christians, and they've experienced stuff that they can't wrap their mind around or put a handle on it or doesn't have a good explanation for it.
And I think that is what some Christians are afraid of, because we don't want to probe too deeply into the question that we have is solid and can hold on its own 2 feet. And there's nothing wrong with that skepticism that we may have. So what I want to do to kind of jumpstart our conversation, I want to ask this question. I kind of reiterate it in my own words, Kenneth, but what do you think? What do we mean by the world of the strange?
Now, the world of the strange is, you know, that which doesn't conform or fit into the natural world. You know, there are things that happen, you know, when you drop a ball, it falls to the ground. It doesn't go straight up. Or, you know, then there's things that go bump in the night, those strange occurrences, things being misplaced in the morning or things being rearranged, strange lights, strange creatures, things that have no rational explanations, even things that go back to, you know, reported thousands of years ago that people saw strange things.
And that's a good point. So, that's a good point.
Yeah, it would be anything that we really don't have a rational explanation. Of course, in the world of science, well, if they can't, you know, test it and prove it, then they kind of dismiss it out of hand. And on the other hand, you have those people who take it to an extreme, you know, where they're buying into the whole thing and they're believing in some of those things. And, of course, given that they're probably not some sort of believer or religious person, well, then they'll buy into those things. And you have those who kind of take it to an extreme and exploit it, like, you know, the ancient astronaut theorists who diminish the Bible into a bunch of visits by aliens from another planet.
Yeah. Crazy show. It was absolutely crazy show. I remember thinking, if someone, you know, take some kind of drug before they got on air? I really did, because some of the stuff is, you know, like you said, it's intriguing, kind of get your mind going. You kind of think, well, that's interesting. And then some of the theories they started to have, you kind of just start slumping your shoulders and wondering, please turn off the station. I want those neurons that had this on my neurons. I want them back. That's what you kind of think when you watch some of the show. But I don't think we're trying to ignore it, though. One thing I love about doing this show is that we do probe these questions that a lot of mainstream people don't probe. You know what I mean, Kenneth? Sometimes they don't want to probe it because they are afraid. I think there's cause to be afraid. But what do you think? What's the prevailing Christian mindset on these type of things, considering the world of the strange?
Well, they're kind of afraid to really explore it. They see a curiosity as maybe not having as much faith or you know, that they should. So they tend to ignore it completely. But a curiosity is not necessarily a blanket acceptance of what it is and what people tell us. Now, some of the early church leaders in America were influenced by John Locke and the Scottish Enlightenment, and they really got into realism and, you know, science and that sort of thing. So they didn't look at anything else as being really real. Like a lot of church people feel that the only way that spirit talks to us today is through the Word of God, and certainly that's, you know, a true statement. And, you know, if someone tells them that, well, you know, God, you know, told me, or I felt I needed to be a missionary, well, they said you got that from the Word. And I kind of look at it, I don't know if they got it from the Word or if the Spirit put that in their heart, but either way, the Spirit is, whichever way it is, the Spirit's acting in that. So, but to me, that you kind of negate the God's own supernatural ways of doing things, of, you know, leading in that sort of way, or maybe healing people, or that, you know, miracles do happen when we pray. So while it's good to be a realist and grounded, and be, you know, kind of skeptical and rational. At the same time, we have to accept what God tells us in Scripture.
Exactly. And I think you're making an excellent point when you say that, because the miraculous and the strange and the unexplainable happen, we have to acknowledge that God is above the natural. He is supernatural. He is exists outside of time. He exists outside of our understanding of nature. He exists outside of all of that. And so to negate that these strange things happen is also negate the power of God's supernatural power, that he is able to intervene into our natural world. He is able to make things happen that we could not make happen. I was just working on a blog post, Kenneth, actually, talking about how people change, but God never changes. And that supernatural strength that he had at the beginning of the world when he created it is still in existence today. And so we have to acknowledge that if we want to ignore the things that go bump in the night, we also will have to, frankly, do that as well. Wouldn't you say, Kenneth?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to acknowledge that God does, you know, work in those ways, and that there are realms that we're kind of unaware. Paul said that Satan runs around like a raging lion looking to, you know, deceive us or defeat us. You know, many Christians in third world countries still have a great belief in, you know, the works of the devil and those kind of things. And, you know, they really, you know, adhere to that more than we do. We tend to be, you know, almost secular in our thinking.
Right.
That, well, this all happened thousands of years ago. We accept that, but it doesn't occur today.
Exactly. And I that mind frame, Kenneth, I'll be honest with you, I used to think, well, God doesn't do miracles anymore, until I really needed one, and he did. So, I mean, it takes something like that to make you realize that God is bigger than what we think. We cannot compartmentalize him into this box and say, this is my God. We can't do that. And one of my pastors said, think of how big God is, and he's bigger than that. You know, he said, get him out of your box and out of your compartment. Because sometimes Christians, especially here in the West, we have a tendency to compartmentalize God. And at the same time, he's saying, why won't you let me be God of your life? Because I'm bigger than anything you could possibly understand. So I'm really glad you mentioned that sometimes we do become more secular. And I wonder if that's why we don't get some of the, what I want to call it, Ken, some of the blessings that come from God through the supernatural power, weird stuff like, I don't know, but I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about the very practical supernatural power of God. And we are talking today to Kenneth Morvant. He is with us as we talk about Christians and the world of the strange. And we are talking about UFOs. We're talking about strange things that go bump in the night. We're talking about conspiracy theories, all kind of good stuff, all kind of things about anomalous phenomena. And if you want to call in and weigh in on our topic, you certainly can by calling in at 646-595-2083. Press 1 to be live on air, or hit us on Twitter at WLUV Radio 103, hashtag write stuff with your questions and your comments. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You walked into the hotel as a 5. But when she saw the room, you turned into a weird 7. When she saw the rooftop pool, you went to 11. You two should probably get a room. Oh, that's right. You already did. At Planet Earth's number one accommodation site, booking.com. Booking.yeah.
You don't want that one.
Yeah, actually I do. It's Mucinex Fastmax Nighttime, and it's got nasal decongestion.
Is that really a thing? Sounds made up.
I can't sleep when I'm all stuffy.
I take offense to that.
I'm not going to argue with a talking ball of mucus.
I think you're being a little hasty. Oh.
He's not with me.
Mucinex Fastmax Nighttime. Multi-symptom relief plus nasal decongestant. Breathe easy, sleep easy. Start the relief, ditch the misery. Let's end this.
Hi, I'm Jan. Welcome to Toyota's once-a-year clearance event.
Can I still get a great deal?
Yes, there's lots to choose from, but you'd better hurry. They're going fast. What is that?
Ted, he's going to help pick the color.
Blue, we have that. Can you take him? We have that, too.
Save big on a great selection at Toyota's nationwide clearance event. Right now, get 0% APR financing on a 2013 Camry. Hurry, the amazing deals won't last long.
Did you find him?
Still looking.
Toyota, let's go places.
The station with the
best music.
Best music.
I love the music.
Best music.
It brings our ecstasy.
All the number one songs in the Apple universe.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
WLUV Radio.
Now back to the right stuff with Parker J. Cole right here on the D103.3 WLUV.
Let's bring it back.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on the D103.3 WLUV Radio. We are just having a fantastic discussion as we discuss Christians and the world of the strange with a wonderful guest co-host and contributor today, Kenneth Morvan. Kenneth, again, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. Like I said, I appreciate it. And I kind of want to just go ahead and jump back into our discussion here because, like I said, it's absolutely fascinating. One of the things I want to ask you is this. Before the show, we talked about what's kind of like the prevailing mindset of the Christian when it comes to strange things. And so my next question would be, should we be reluctant to discuss them? What would you say to that?
As far as that goes, I really don't take anything off the table as far as discussing. It's kind of how we view the information. If we're discussing this type of phenomenon with, say, a secular person who doesn't believe the way we do, they don't have the cross-shaped glasses like we do. They may see these things as different. If a person is relying on fortune tellers and mediums, you know, that's kind of like not trusting God to, you know, work your future out, in that way. And, you know, again, like we were saying before, the Bible's not full of extraterrestrial travelers, they are who scriptures say they are. We look at Ezekiel and say the wheel that he saw, we think in prophetic language that it's a representation of, you know, God and his power, you know, something of that nature, as opposed to being, you know, a real UFO floating around the sky. You know, and also, you know, like believing that, you know, someone's spirit could just walk the earth and not be bound by what God says. You know, Paul said that Satan would perform counterfeit miracles, is how he put it. So naturally Satan would want us to believe it. So, well, when I die, I don't have to go anywhere. I can, you know, I can just haunt somebody or something like that.
Right.
So yeah, as far as fiction goes, they can make good stories. Some Christian writers have used vampires and werewolves as flawed souls seeking salvation or someone seeking to save them. You know, I personally like to say that I'm a Christian that writes science fiction rather than a writer of Christian science fiction. You know, my writing, you know, probably wouldn't, you know, be offensive language-wise or anything like that. But, you know, they do delve into the realm of many different things.
That's interesting that you said science fiction, because that's a question a lot of Christian writers have, even myself, because as my writing tends to be edgier, and it kind of, especially my romance, they tend to be edgier romances, and I tend to write things from a very realistic perspective, no holds bar. And mainstream Christian fiction doesn't tend to do that. And so I'm really glad you kind of made that distinction, because some writers are struggling with whether or not I'm a Christian writer or if I'm a Christian who writes. And that has to be something between them and the Lord. They have to figure that one out. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. So here we are with our my next question is how would you reconcile the issue of the strange phenomena and the unexplainable within a Christian worldview or a Christian mind frame. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
I think most of us, you know, including Christians, have had unexplainable experiences. I remember one occurrence when I was with a friend, and there was a Christian youth group, but I remember everyone took some sort of school field trip. So we're at the convent, and, you know, we're playing foosball and pool and listening to records and, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of hanging out. And so I hear what, like, kids out in the distance calling, but it sounds like they're calling my friend's name. And I just kind of dismiss it until he says, "Did you hear somebody call my name?"
Oh, my gosh.
Later on, later on that evening, we went and backed in the Catholic church in the middle of town. They never locked the doors back then. So we're sitting at the foot of the altar, still just, you know, talking, nothing else to do. And the huge doors in front of it, which were very heavy, very hard to open, they swung mm-hmm. open like they were featherweights. And the street lights
wow.
outside, you couldn't see any feet or anything like that. So I'm kind of mesmerized looking at those doors. He stands bolt straight up, turns towards the side door that we entered, and he never took his eyes off the front door. I got up and I never took my eyes off him. You know, so, you know, whatever that was, it was kind
oh
of
my gosh.
Experience.
Okay, chills
so
went down my spine.
One time, you know, we're just friends hanging around, and it's one evening. We're in one of our friends' yards, and we look up, or one of us looks up, and they said, "Look, those lights are moving." So amongst the stars and what looked like stars, they moved back and forth for the longest time. You know, they moved, you know, like in an arc, maybe 20 degrees, and they, you know, kind of shuffle back and forth, and some of them would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, you know, it happened, but it doesn't have an explanation. Devout Christians in nursing homes, they'll qualify their statements as, I'm a devout and, you know, whatever denomination here. And they said, you know, I didn't believe in ghosts. Everybody told me. But
mm-hmm.
they said when someone would pass away, the call button would be pressed mysteriously. The other resident in the bed was sleeping, but it was the other bed. They would see mist going down there, or they'd see an apparition of the person
mm-hmm.
there. So, you know, maybe the devil's playing with them there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard stories by missionaries who were basically about to be killed in attack when whoever was organizing it went away. And the story was told that they didn't realize that they had an army, you know, up on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
So they seen something that caused them to move away. So, and we may see these as false miracles, like Satan, like Paul spoke in the scriptures, but many of those are you know, were beneficial. In Civil War, General McClellan had a dream where George Washington warned him that Confederate troops were nearing the Capitol. So he changed his plans and was able to stop them. And also Governor Warren was supposed to go to Gettysburg to the Little Round Top. And they said they were riding along, and he seen what looked like an apparition with the three-corner hat. And it was
wow.
pointing in the far side of the road. It was pointing for him to go, you know, the right way. So, I mean, these are strange occurrences. You know, was it God pointing them to the right place so that things could happen correctly? We see all these things. In World War II, when Pearl Harbor happened, the aircraft carriers were supposed to be in port, but they were fighting a hurricane trying to get back to Pearl. So they weren't there whenever they bombed. So, and, of course, aircraft carriers turned out to be the most important thing during that conflict. So there are many things out there that are strange that happen, and, you know, some of it may be the devil, but to me, some of it pointing in the right direction has to be maybe God's hand or of providence.
Especially since God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and that he does care about the affairs of man, it's quite probable and quite possible to think that God is doing his work in us by acting out in a supernatural way, like we mentioned earlier, Kim. So I'm really glad that you shared those rather spine-tingly stories with us. I really do. We got a kind of a long comment from Kathleen. Kathleen in Detroit, thank you so much for your comment. Kathleen says, when I was a little girl, my father was extremely cruel to me my whole life. I ended up running away from home, and then I got married to my husband. Years later, when my father was over my bed and his eyes were red, and he was an extremely cruel man, and one time in my sleep, he slapped me while I was sleeping. I don't know if that was the devil or just my father being too mean for the devil. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for your comment. I was just reading that, Ken. What do you think about stuff like that? Because there have been a lot of people who have seen things and they can't reconcile it with the worldview, because the Bible says, absent with the body, present with the Lord. And then you hear these kind of things. So what do you think?
So basically, I mean, if you look at it, take the Christian that's a realist, they're going to say, well, that's just a dream, or, you know, your imagination or something like that. Others would say that, you know, maybe it is guidance or something like that, or two views on it. You know, those who are more, I don't want to say spiritual, because I know the Christian that's a realist is at least, you know, thinking about God and spiritual. You know, they just have trouble wrapping their mind around it. But all these events and countless people can recount that to you, of things that they've seen, that they've experienced, that we have no rational explanation for, other than, you know, it's some sort of phenomenon.
Exactly. We got another question from Betty in New York, New York. Betty, thank you so much for your question. Betty says, do you think aliens are real? Thank you so much, Betty, for your question. Ken?
Well, basically, we went through thousands of years being at the center of the universe with the sun revolving around us. So, but the Bible is really unclear on it. It doesn't say that they are. It doesn't say that they aren't. You kind of figure that they don't figure prominently into the salvation story, because that's what the Bible is. It just tells us what we did and how to be saved. You know, it doesn't tell us how the universe goes or anything like that. And I always thought that, you know, God lived forever in the past as he will in the future. And I don't think that 6,000 to 10,000 years ago, he's reclined back in the Barca lounges, he flips the handle, stands up and says, you know, I think I'll do something. If you live for eternity in the past, what are all the things that a supreme being, all-powerful, all-knowing, the things that he's already done? So you don't want to dismiss out of hand that there's not this happening. Now, again, with the ancient astronaut theory, I'm not going to take any part of the Bible and apply it to, you know, just some visitor from another planet.
Right.
But, you know, scripture is scripture, and you know, I believe what God says. But we don't know all that God has done. I mean, I even thought one time, suppose what's happened, what we're going through now, kind of like Groundhog Day, it gets repeated. When God ends this world, that we might become the angels that guide people and do things, and it starts all over again. There's an Adam and Eve. And, you know, I mean, it's wild-eyed speculation, but who knows what God has done and what he will do.
And we are talking again to Ken Morvine. He is talking with us about Christians and the world of the strange. And we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we get back, we're going to get into Ken's new book and get some more of your questions and your comments. And if you want to comment, you certainly can by calling in at 646-595-2083. Press 1 to be live on air. Or hit us on Twitter at WLUV Radio 103, hashtag right stuff, with your questions and your comments. We love to hear from you. Again, we're going to go ahead, take a quick short break, and when we get back, we'll be right back on schedule.
Musical chairs. Fun, right? Well, not when your travel rewards card makes it so hard to get a seat using your miles. That's their game. The flights you want are blacked out, or they ask for some ridiculous number of miles.
Honestly, it's time to switch to the Venture card from Capital One. With Venture, use your miles on any airline, any flight, anytime, no blackout fees. And with every purchase, you'll earn unlimited double miles. From now on, no one's taking your seat away. What's in your wallet?
This is Ramon Geard of The Morning Show, and you're listening to Parker J. Cole right here on The Right Stuff on WLUV Radio. We'll be right back.
My station, your station, Detroit station, WLUV Radio.
So we're all set?
Yep, with Xfinity Internet, your family can use all their devices at once. Works anywhere in the house, even the garage.
Max, what's going on?
We're doing a tech startup. We're streamlining an algorithm.
What's Grandpa doing?
Hi.
Grandpa, you don't want to be an intern forever.
Sorry, Dad. We have to get back to work. We have a deadline.
We're going public!
The fastest in-home Wi-Fi for your entire family. The X1 Entertainment Operating System. Only from Xfinity.
Baby, what's the best way to the hospital?
It's coming.
What do you mean it's coming?
I'm pushing, but it's too slow.
No, baby, breathe.
At times like these, you shouldn't go slow. You should be fast. With Metro's lightning fast nationwide 4G LTE network. With unlimited data, talk, and text, $40, period.
Twins.
No surprises. Even taxes and fees are included. $40, period.
Right when you feel a cold sore, Abreva can heal a cold sore in as few as 2.5 days when used at the first sign. Without it, the virus spreads from cell to cell. Unlike other treatments, Abreva penetrates deep to block the virus to protect healthy cells. So cold sores heal fast as 2.5 days when used at the first sign. Learn more at Abreva.com.
Don't tough it out. Knock it out fast.
Only with Abreva.
The station with the
best music.
Best music.
I love the music.
Best music.
In your face, all over the place.
Praise the Lady Way. Oh, yeah. Use it, praise the Lady
Way. We're online 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
WLUV.
J. Cole Show.
Season 6 winners, BET, Sunday's Best, Tasha Page Locker. So when you were announced the winner, how did that make you feel?
Wow. It was crazy. It was a moment I will never forget. The newspaper was there. I mean, it was amazing. I will never forget that moment to see the joy in my kids' eyes. You know, my sons were crying. They're 12 and 5. They were so happy and proud that I was their mother, you know. And it was just amazing.
The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
The Parker J. Cole Show, Saturdays 2 p.m. Standard Time on the D103.3 WLUV Radio Weekend. Now back to The Right Stuff with Parker J. Cole right here on the D103.3 WLUV.
Let's bring it back.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on the D103.3 WLUV Radio Weekend. Don't forget to join me on Saturdays for the Parker J. Cole Show, where I talk about issues in, out, and about the church, as well as provide commentary and take your questions and comments. And that's Saturdays at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the D103.3. And then don't forget to join Ramon and the gang for the best 2 hours of your morning with The Morning Show. Show with Ramon and Lucretia right here on WLUV Radio Mornings, and you don't want to miss it at all. And if you do miss it, you know what you can do? You can simply download the mobile app today. Simply go to the Google Play Store or the iTunes App Store and download the WLUV Radio mobile app, and you'll never have to miss a show. You can get us on the go. Again, we are talking about Christians and the World of the Strange with our wonderful guest co-host and contributor today, Kenneth Morvant. Now, Kenneth, we have been sharing some rather spine-tingling stories of the strange and the weird and the odd. And so with that, I think it's a great segue into your new book. So tell us what your newest book is all about.
Well, my latest book is called Deviant, and it's kind of an amalgam between demon and alien, and it comes out this Friday, the 17th. And in it, it's the first of a series where I introduce a character called Professor Trevor Pendleton. He's a quick-witted British physicist and archaeologist who believes in intelligent design. Of course, his wit got him in trouble with the physics department, so he's that's why he's doing archaeology. But he studies ancient technology, past visitors to this world, and other anomalous phenomena. Now, he's tasked by a secret American agency to decipher the real mystery of Roswell and the resurgence of UFOtivity in the world as tensions between, you know, countries increase. Mm-hmm. Now, in their discoveries, they discovered that the Nephilim are alive and well and do some interesting things about how they came about. And they're in a battle for possession of the world with Lucifer, Satan, and his minions, who wait just beyond our plane of existence for a chance to cross over for a front row seat to the world's latest conflict. And, of course, there's a lot of science in that story. Pendleton and his team have to figure out their technology and their weaknesses in order for the world to have a chance to survive against the onslaught.
Sounds rather gripping, Kenneth, and it just kind of rips about for what we're talking about the world that is strange and finding out, I think, which makes great story fodder and great fiction, finding out that the things that go bump in the night actually do go bump in the night. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They actually do. And there's something quite terrifying about that, thinking that your world is one way and then finding out it's a whole different ball game. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad we're talking about this topic. We did get a question from Lee. Lee hails from Louisiana. He didn't put the city down. He hails from Louisiana. Lee says, what do you think, if aliens are demons, should we really be trying to contact them? Lee, thank you so much for your comment. Ken?
What city in Louisiana is he from?
He didn't give the city. He just said from Louisiana.
Oh, he didn't give the city. I'm originally from Abbeville, Louisiana, which is incidentally where they filmed the remake of The Blob back in '88. But
really?
Anyway, exactly. We shouldn't be trying to contact demons in any sort of way. I think our curiosity kind of goes to how they manifest, or they just manifest in our mind. We kind of think of the mechanics behind how they do these things. But as far as contacting demons or wanting to, it's probably, you know, not the best thing. I mean, aliens, if what we hear and see is true, and there are some visitors from somewhere else, they're pretty elusive, you know, as far as trying to get here. We have programs such as SETI, which, goes out there and tries to listen, and also some that try to broadcast messages. If we look at all our broadcasts from, you know, early last century, then our signal has gone out hundreds of light years. And if there is indeed, you know, those type of civilizations out there, then they know that we're over here. But mm-hmm. when you think of the mechanics behind getting a ship that could actually cross the void in any amount of time, it's almost like, why bother? They're so far away. But of
right.
course, if they got here, then I guess they figured out a way. But I mean, if the aliens, if they turn out to be demon manifestations, well, then that's the same thing as the ghost and those sort of things. It's something that, you know, the devil's putting out there to make us believe in something different than what God told us.
Mm-hmm. And Lee, I hope that answers your question. You can always call in with a question and comment at 646-595-2083. Press 1 to be live on air, or hit us on Twitter at WLUV Radio 103, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions and your comments. So, Ken, I want to kind of go into some more of your books. So we're talking about things, strange news, phenomenon, all kind of weird good stuff here. So what are some of the themes you explore in your book?
Alternate explanations of UFOs and alien visitors, mm-hmm. some alternate history, what's called cryptoarchaeology, which is kind of like cryptozoology. It's just kind of the non-scientific things that are out there or things that can't be explained. Also try to show that, you know, Christians and agnostics and atheists are working together to solve problems and to try to save the world. You know, so it's kind of a, you know, tolerance and getting along type of story. And just, you know, a lot of times just taking the science or current technology and kind of extending it into the future in fanciful ways to use as devices within the book to either for us to be attacked or for us to attack or thwart the attacks of others against us.
I think you make a good point, because at the end of the day, regardless of our dispositions and our different beliefs, we all, of course, want everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. But if we actually had an enemy stronger than us, we would really all have to get together and work together, wouldn't we, Ken?
Exactly. You know,
it would be a necessity. It would be a necessity. That's one aspect of the disaster movies and the alien overtake movies that I like, is the fact that if we're going to continue to exist in this world in the movie, if we're going to continue to exist, we're going to have to work together, because right now it seems that the society is just eating itself, as I like to say, almost self-cannibalism, because there's nothing bigger than us taking over. So a good friend of mine, actually, he's waiting for the aliens to show themselves, because he says humanity needs a savior. And I had to tell him, we have a savior. We already do.
Exactly.
We don't need the aliens to save us. We need a Lord to save us. Because if we want to go there, Ken, and I'll just go there real quick, if we want to go there, the aliens couldn't save us from internal damnation. They can't save us from our sins. Yeah, if you want to go ahead and say they can give us technology or help us with certain problems, yeah, sure, okay. But can they save us from hell? Because I honestly believe
exactly.
that God did create extraterrestrial beings that were similar to us. They still need a savior, you know.
Exactly.
And
absolutely.
That's why I've always have such a problem with alien gods, because they want to exalt themselves as if they can save us from stains of the soul. You know, that's what sin does. So I'm kind of
exactly.
glad you mentioned that and explore that stuff. Well, you know, Ken, one of the things about this show is that I want to let aspiring writers know that it doesn't matter how long it took for you to write, you still don't get that book out there. So how long did it take for you to write your book?
I did the writing and the self-edit of several times going through it myself. That took about 6 months. And then I had a good friend who's a writer who agreed to be, you know, to edit it for me again. And that took about another month. And then Electio Publishing is taking about 6 months to release it.
Well, Electio is a wonderful publisher. I've had such great responses and great working relationship with them. And one of the things I want to know, Ken, is that I know it's going to be coming out, but I know you probably have people reading it already to kind of get the feel for the book. So what are people saying about the book?
Everyone likes it. In fact, my friend who edited it, he told me, he said, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't have taken the time to edit it, because he did spend a lot of effort on it. And he liked my first book also. But yeah, he said, just to tell you, I said, I wouldn't have done it for you if I didn't like to read it. So,
okay. That's a compliment. That's a compliment, definitely. I got to ask, you know, I'm a sci-fi chick. I love spec fiction. I totally do. I am an original Star Trek fan. The original series, I can almost quote every single episode. Not quite, but almost every single episode. I love talking about Star Trek. That is my show. I mean, I love Star Trek. That set me on a whole realm of possibilities of Star Trek. So I got to ask the fellow sci-fi lover, what are some of your favorite sci-fi shows or books?
I like a lot of the 50s sci-fi movies.
Oh, yes!
You know, Star Trek is kind of a utopian place, so with everyone working together, which is kind of one view of it, but a lot of the 50s sci-fi movies, sometimes the worse they were, the better they were.
Yes,
but,
I agree with you.
You know, of course, at that time, Lost in Space came out, and I was about the same age as Billy Mummy, so, you know, you made that connection there. Then you had, you know, shows like Time Tunnel. Of course, James Bond had came out, so you had, like, The Avengers. And they kind of did some of the weird stories, kind of like the X-Files did. Get Battlestar Galactica in the 70s, and of course, you know, a lot of the movies that came out. I think one of my favorites is just the Alien franchise. You know, because it was such
franchise.
A departure from what was normally done out there. So you know, the Terminator movies and the old RoboCop, those there. So the anything, you know, action adventure that extends technology, you know, into the future and makes predictions and creates a story around that is pretty good. But yeah, I think Star Trek is probably the kind of more the original adult thoughtful type sci-fi that came out that wasn't quite aimed so much as to kids as some of the other shows were.
One of the things I love that you say you love the Alien franchise, because I grew up watching Aliens. That was my show. I was so disappointed with Prometheus. I cannot tell you how disappointed with Prometheus I was. I just wanted to see the aliens. I did not care about the philosophical questions they had. I just wanted to watch the aliens' head come out and the mouth too. But see, I like sci-fi monster movies. I don't like gore, but I like sci-fi monster movies. And I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm so glad that Aliens.
If you can make horror with sci-fi, then you got something really good.
Yeah, but not tasteful horror. I have to say tasteful, because I watched Event Horizon recently. I think I told you about it. I saw Event Horizon, and that was horrific. That was just gore, and I had nightmares for several days. Because we're, you know, as writers, Ken, we're very imaginative in the first place. We don't really need help, okay? So that movie messed me up for like days, almost a week. It took like almost a week to get my sleep rhythm back because of the gore in it. It was awful. So what are some of your next projects coming up?
So my next project is another Professor Pendleton adventure called Professor Pendleton and the Cloud People, where we explore ancient Egyptology and what happened to the library at Alexandria, you know, when it burnt down, and kind of those areas. And then, of course, after that, I've got three more of his adventures that I've already thought of, dealing with different things. After that, one of them is Professor Pendleton and the Ectomen, which deals with biological warfare. Professor Pendleton and the radioactive spiders from Mars, which is kind of a creature feature, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And then Professor Pendleton and the Time Rippers, about him having to help people from the future get control of some people who have, say, perfected time travel, but someone's commandeered it and they're causing mayhem. So that's the other ones I have in that series that I'm trying to write right now. But Professor Pendleton and the Cloud People is the one that I'm working on. It's interesting because I got the idea. I'm flying and I looked outside and there was a cloud, and I forget what they call it as a formation, but it almost looked like a pillar or tower with arms sticking out from it. So, you know, from there, I just got the idea, you know, for something of that nature.
That sounds fascinating. That sounds absolutely fascinating. I love looking at the clouds, too, and just getting so many ideas. And it's interesting how the ideas come about, isn't it, Ken?
They can come from nowhere.
I was at a workshop recently. I was telling all my listeners about it. I was at a workshop, and I told people how one segment of my story happened because I picked up a box of brown sugar, and the whole idea kind of unfolded. And just something that simple. God has given us the gift to just get those ideas and have anything kind of get the creative juices flowing there. And so what are your social media hookups? We're almost at the top of the hour, so our show's about to end, and it's been absolutely wonderful. So if people want to get a hold of you, what are your social media hookups?
My website is at KennethMorvant, all one word, .com, / WordPress is the blog where I keep up a sci-fi calendar of movies, events, actors, you know, birth dates, death dates, with movie releases. On Facebook, it's Kenneth Morvant, all one word. And on Twitter, it's @KMorvant.
And again, your website is www.kennethmorvant.com.
That's correct.
Okay, so just for those who are listening, it's KennethMorvant.com. That's M-O-R-V as in Victor A-N-T. That's KennethMorvant.com. So I want you to go ahead and check it out there. And so one thing I want to do to our listeners is to always encourage them if God's given them the gift to write. And in this particular show is about things that are not very particular about strange things, like ghost stories, like alien encounters, strange things that we see, like monsters, Bigfoot, some weird allegory. So we're Christians who want to explore these topics. And so I want you to speak to them particularly and encourage them. If God has given them the gift to write, I want you to encourage them today.
Basically, I would say write, persist, repeat, like
right.
you can too. Mm-hmm. The friend that edited my book, he told me his book, it finally got published after a long time, but he got rejected, he learned some more, he rewrote it, got rejected again, learned more, rewrote, and, you know, finally got a publisher to take it. So I guess the key is to keep writing and learn and grow your skills and to be persistent in your marketing efforts. It's a struggle and a long road, but I don't think it's one that those of us who like to write will ever regret.
And Kenneth, thank you so much for taking time.
It's been a great pleasure.
Just wonderful insights. I really, really sincerely appreciate you being here. So thank you today for being with us on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
And we were talking today to Kenneth Morvant. He is the author of Demian, which is going to be released on Friday. So you want to stay tuned for that. To get more information about Kenneth, simply go to his website at www.kennethmorvant.com. That's Kenneth Morvant, M-O-R-V as in Victor, A-N-T.com. And follow him on Twitter at K-Morvant. Again, that's at K-Morvant. You will be just so blessed by his writing, his sci-fi, and just his description with words and world building. It's absolutely phenomenal. So you want to go ahead, follow Ken on Twitter at kmoravant.com. Again, if you want to get more information, authors.com to get more information about that. You will be able to meet yours truly because I'll be emceeing that whole weekend and I'm looking forward to it and meeting some of you, giving you some books and just really having a great time with other Christian indie authors. If you want to get me on Saturday, be sure to join me for the Parker J. Cole Show where I talk about issues in, out, and about the church, give commentary, and take your questions and your comments. And that's Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And then get ready for the best 2 hours of your morning with Ramon Garrett and The Morning Show. Again, the best 2 hours of your morning on WLUV Radio Mornings. Don't forget, if you haven't had a chance to get any of my books, Many Strange Women, The Other Man, God Forsaken, and Dark Cherub, you can get that today. Simply go to Amazon.com and type in Parker J. Cole. You'll see what books I have available. And it has been absolutely phenomenal. I am promoting The Other Man this week, and I got to let you know, something's coming up next week, Tuesday, and it's going to be really great. It has something to do with my birthday, and I'm going to tell you about that on Saturday for the Parker J. Cole Show, so just stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Cole. You have a wonderful, blessed day.
This has been a WLUV Radio featured presentation.